Welcome to the catch up.
Oh, yeah, man. We're starting a jingle. I like that. Yeah. Hey, speaking of which, Clive Palmer's on just his new light and easy ad for us. That was a bit of fun. What about Richie McCaw, All Blacks great, in a chopper saving people in New Zealand? Hey.
And Mike Hussey, he answered the question, is Test cricket dead in Australia?
That's good.
He's very
good.
Diplomatic about that. That's still to come on the Marto and Ed Cavalier catch up. Enjoy it.
Hey, guys, your favourite podcast is just seconds away. But what if you could listen to it without worrying about using data? Got an offer for you right now. If you go to ilovedata.com.au, you're going to get 50 gigs of data for only $59.95 a month. There's no contracts. There's no catches. It's ilovedata.com.au. Open that up on your browser now, and let's get into the podcast.
Well, the world's greatest rugby player retired at the end of last year after winning his second Rugby World Cup as captain of the All Blacks, and you wonder what happened to Richie McCaw. Well, for all his rugby career, he was a glider pilot. He's got his helicopter pilot, commercial chopper pilot these days, and he was involved in the rescue, and I cannot believe how lucky we are to be talking to Richie McCaw. Good morning, Sir Richie.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Yeah, I know. You always play everything down so low. What have you been up to over there? We've heard these stories over here in Australia about you going on, you're dropping people into the zone.
Yeah, I'm actually just at the helicopter at the moment. Yesterday morning, obviously, after the earthquake at Kaikoura, we took the search and rescue guys up to Kaikoura to search through some broken houses, and then they're pretty much ferrying tourists out because it's completely shut off. So we just I've got a load of Chinese tourists at the moment. We're taking back to Christchurch.
So all the roads most of the roads are blocked off. So you're getting people, important people in, and getting tourists out.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, the roads to go around the coast, obviously around cliff faces. So they're going to be shut off for quite a while. So I think there's something like a couple of thousand tourists that were stranded in between the slips, so they need to get out somehow. I guess helicopter's a good way to do it.
We're talking to Richie McCaw live from inside a chopper. Richie, as you look out the, I guess, is it window and windscreen, as you're flying at the moment, what can you see? How bad is the destruction in New Zealand?
We're actually midway back to Christchurch, but around Kaikoura, the main thing you see is massive slips taking out the railway lines and the roads and tunnels that sort of go around the coast. So that's what's caused some of the problems. We went yesterday with some the fire guys to check on houses. There's a few that have been pretty beaten up, but most of them didn't collapse. But the sort of one, I think, that unfortunately someone was a fatality, but it was a good shake, I tell you. We were in Christchurch, we were away.
Yeah, now we are talking to, just if you're just joining us, Richie McCaw is joining us too, who's flying a chopper to help the rescue effort in New Zealand. When people get into the chopper, Richie, how quickly do they go, are you Richie McCaw?
To be honest, the tourists probably don't really have much of an idea, but...
No, you're not so big in China, are you?
Yeah, there's a few kids running around, so sort of when you're trying to load helicopters and stuff, and a few kids wanting photos, which is quite cool.
So I saw your photo with you with the Prime Minister John Key yesterday. Did you fly him around to have a look at the devastation, or did he just get all fanny?
No, he got the Air Force jokers to take him in there, so it just happened to be that I pulled him beside the Air Force machine, and he was climbing in, so I went to G'day.
Oh, God.
How do you say New Zealand?
I love New Zealand.
I love it.
Hey, how did it compare to the one in 2011? I know you lived through that one as well in Christchurch.
Well, for us in Christchurch, in a city, you know, like that one was probably, from my point of view, had a lot bigger effect. But you know, if you just talk about the little town up in Kaikoura, you know, it's probably just the same, but we got a lot way lightly in Christchurch.
Right, so the quake seemed to affect northwards from Kaikoura rather than southwards towards Christchurch. Yeah, so Wellington got hit harder. Wellington got hit harder. It sort of went north this time rather than affecting Christchurch.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. There was sort of worry of tsunami sort of stuff, because you know, Kaikoura that isn't far away from Wellington. I think it sort of set off a series of earthquakes sort of further north than Kaikoura as well. So, yeah, I think it was a bit of a reality wake-up call for everyone. I think we all sort of expect one day that it's going to be these sort of things, but when it happens, it's still pretty scary.
Isn't it ever?
All right, we better let you get back to it. Christchurchhelicopters.co.nz. You can go and have a look at the website. And Richie McCaw, All Blacks legend, in the chopper, helping out the relief effort. I'm so happy I get to say this. Richie McCaw, over and out.
Over and out. Good on you. Cheers, guys.
Guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. We did mention at the start of the show that we've been handed an incredible deal from Ovo Mobile. So if you switch to Ovo Data SIM, you're going to get 50 gig for $59.95 on 4G. And this is going to change how you enjoy listening to music, video, sport, all the stuff you do on your mobile device with nothing more than a new SIM. And get this, just for you for listening right now, OVO will give you the first month at half price. Let's do some math. Let's work that out. A whole month to enjoy 50 gig on 4G for just $29.95, then $59.95 after that. So there's no contract, and OVO will instantly upgrade your plan to any better offers they release as part of their More for Fans promise. And with 50 gig, you can afford to catch up with us more often. Open your browser now and get on at ilovedata.com.au. 50 gig for $59.95 on 4G, and then half price for the first month. ilovedata.com.au. Now let's get back to the show.
I just want to touch on this quickly. There was a question about it in my quiz show last night, and haven't been paying attention. First time I'd seen the pictures of Clive Palmer, who was famously quite large and larger than life figure, and he was, you know, carrying a little bit. He's of his own admission. He's lost...
Carrying a little bit. He was 153 Ks.
Yeah, I was trying to be kind. So he's lost 40 kilos in a relatively small amount of time. And then the question is asked, how'd you do it, Clive? How'd you do it? And
how he said,
He said light and easy.
What? He worked.
He said,
I don't know.
So much. Well, let's actually, you know what? Why should we sit here and speculate when he's been signed up by Light and Easy to tell his story?
Yes. Hello, it's everybody's favourite billionaire Clive Palmer here. And I am half my former size. Oh, yes, I've lost so many inches off my waist. I'm down to a tiny 46. Have a listen to how my pants hang off me. Oh, they've got me in the ghoulies. How did I lose all this weight, I hear you ask? Well, it's simple. Clive Palmer eats light and easy. And it's my chance to just make simple changes in your diet, and you too can be looking as svelte as me. For instance, where I used to eat a bucket of KFC for brunch, now I don't. Whereas I used to chase my meals with a milkshake that came in a bucket that I got from Bunnings that has to be hoisted into my mouth with a crane, now I don't. As I used to be tearing my hair out as the many Chinese creditors I have came after me, and so I used to emotionally eat a packet of Tim Tams every night, I still do. But I don't do the other thing, so I've lost some weight. So, be like me, your best friend Clive Palmer, and get on light and easy. I used to have 46 double D breasts, and now I'm down to a tasteful C, a beautiful mouthful. I'm Clive Palmer.
Light and easy, Clive's not so squeezy now.
Oh, it's not so crazy.
Brisbane Roar take on Sydney FC this Saturday night at Suncorp Stadium. Tickets from $16 at ticketek.com.au.
I couldn't be more disappointed if I tried.
What in?
The Australian cricket team?
Well, don't get me started. That's with Mike Hussey a little bit later on.
Plenty of time.
When I heard the phrase supermoon, and I heard that the moon was going to be the closest it's ever been, that it's going to be able, you're going to be able to distinguish the different places on the moon. What is it? The Sea of Tranquility, where they landed the moon rover, the Eagle landed on the Sea of Tranquility. You were going to have to be able to make out different areas of
some
the moon.
Some of those basalt plains last night for stargazers, you'll know what I'm talking about. They were outstanding, weren't they?
No.
So
I was
glad you're happy with it.
So disappointed in the supermoon.
What?
Disappointment.
God. It was so bright though. Did you go out onto your lawn and do a little dance?
Like
the moon. Moon shadow.
Okay.
Look. Oh, mate, it was spectacular. It was so bright. Remember that guy yesterday said you could read the paper at midnight? I woke up, it was about one, and just stuck my head out the window and went, well, if I could get a newspaper, if I could be bothered going to get one, you could have read under there. You could have done anything last night.
What did people see, please? If anyone can... Do you agree with me?
Mate, don't put this up as a phone thing.
Straight away, do you agree with me that it was an absolute dud? That it was nothing, that nothing happened? It was
My
just...
family's going to ring and go, I agree with Ed. Because I tried to get them enthusiastic about the supermoon. No one was on.
No. Or if you're like Marto and you thought the supermoon was great and you saw things you've never seen before, were your kids standing there in wonderment? Okay. Were wolves howling? I didn't even hear any wolves howling. Were wolves howling? Were cats going crazy? Someone said to me yesterday, a friend of mine said to me yesterday, better lock up the cat. I was like, okay. Mate, why?
You never know. Well, you're just talking about your little corner. Maybe nothing happened, but maybe somewhere there was a spectacular something. Maybe someone went fishing.
I'm going dud. I'm saying Supermoon was an absolute dud.
And that's what my family said. They stuck their heads out the window. They didn't really give it a chance. They went, it's just bright.
Mm.
Yeah, well, that's super.
What did you think of the Supermoon? Did it have any effect on you at all?
But yeah, some people have looked at it differently.
Okay, come on.
Wayne from Cannon Hill, was the Supermoon good, bad or otherwise?
Yeah, boys, it looked like a moon, just a bit brighter. Yeah. But the possums were enjoying it on our roof last night.
Oh, yeah. Actually, our possum on our roof went nutso too. What did you? Have you got more than one?
Mate, it sounded like we had a rugby team full of them up there last night.
I wonder if that... But that, can't they see in the dark?
That's funny.
Oh, I think they can. But my missus thought it was thunder at one stage.
Wow.
Jeez. Wayne,
see, that's supermoon behaviour.
Let's talk off air, Wayne, about my cull. Here's Lockie from Boona. Lockie, what did you make
of the supermoon? Oh, it would have been great at Boona. Would have been less City Lights. Oh.
No, it was a dud. I'm with Ed. It was an absolute dud.
Thank you. Didn't look any different.
Lockie, it's much darker out there at Boona. The moon must be... you're spoilt for good moons, I suppose, are you?
We do get a fair good ones out there, yeah, absolutely. But I didn't think it was any brighter than a really good moon another night. During the year, you know.
So. Yeah. Thank you. 30%. Thank you, Lockie. Lockie knows what's what. Here comes Nicole from Stafford. What did you think, Nicole? Was it a dud, the supermoon?
I thought it was. I was disappointed, and so were my children. We went out there and laid on the trampoline to look at this gigantic moon, and it really didn't look any bigger.
No, it just looked a bit brighter, didn't it, Nicole? Just a little
bit
brighter.
What level of disappointment, Nicole? Was it like the Eka, like show bag sort of thing, when you look in and you go, oh, I'm a bit disappointed in that? Was it that sort of disappointment?
Maybe not quite finding out that Santa Claus doesn't exist.
No,
don't say that.
Definitely up there with disappointing scenarios of your life where you get excited about something and, that's an anti-climax, definitely.
All right. Thank you, Nicole. We have to move on before you do anything else. Okay, Michael's from Redcliffe.
Thank you, God.
What did you think about the moon, Michael?
I live right on the water at Sutton's Beach. It came up over, probably between Kangalama and Cowan.
Oh, my God.
Sparkled across the bay.
That
it was beautiful. It was lovely. There were hundreds of people on the foreshore. Really, really good.
And now, that's when it was supposed to be at its best. At 10 to 6 last night, you must have been there, were you, Michael?
It was about 5 past 6, Marto, actually, before it came up over Morton.
Oh, over because of the Mount Tempest there, etc. Oh, wow. Were people cheering there at Redcliffe?
Bit of applause, slight clap. They were enjoying it. Families were out, mate. It was good. It was really
just
good.
Just big.
Okay, Anthony's going to bring it home here. Anthony, you're at the airport. How was it, mate? How was the supermoon for you?
I threw a line in on the Gold Coast last night, and it was probably one of the worst fishing trips I've had.
Wow.
So I heard it was going to be great.
Yeah, me too.
That's right. All the fish
too
busy.
I didn't go out.
fish too busy. It wasn't great. There you go.
What were you using for bait? That would have been the problem.
Don't use bait. Fish with lures.
All right, so that's a problem. I think the full moon's more a bait type of night, livey night.
Well, we've had our say. 65% of our callers say that it was just your run-of-the-mill moon. It was a dud. Yeah.
No. Rubbish.
Rubbish moon. It was really bright. It was super bright at my place.
I'll be Hillary Clinton and say the lot of yous don't know what you're talking about.
At my house, it was really bright, but I'd plugged in my Samsung Galaxy Note 7 and it exploded.
Ed, we now sit here on 15th of November, and you're telling me that it's not until January 20th that Trump takes over.
Yeah, he's appointed his transition team, which is just his family members and Mike Pence. He found someone shorter than him to be his vice president. And he's
a good man. I didn't read the article, though. I'm starting to write about him.
He's just a quiet, conservative man. So he just sort of stands in the corner and looks sort of semi-professional. And he's in charge of the transition team. But there's not much to do in terms of the actual White House because you don't own any of the furniture. It's not as if you can go, Obama can't take any of the stuff.
Oh, it stays there.
Yeah, it's not his.
What did Obama put in there? Did I remember correctly? Was it a basketball half-court and a veggie patch or something?
Yeah, and he got a trestle table from IKEA. And he put that together himself. So I think he can take that.
That took a full 8 years, didn't it?
Yeah, I think he can take that. But last night they had one of the first 60 Minutes in America, did the first big interview with Donald Trump.
But it wasn't just with Donald Trump, the whole family. Like, does he not go anywhere without all those adult children? Like the two elephant shooters, they were there.
Yeah, of course.
The two daughters, they were there. A little Baron, he must have gone to bed. I didn't see him.
Yeah, he was tired.
That's weird. Why do you need your kids all to sit around you while you're on 60 Minutes?
Well, two of them are on the transition team because he thought, who do I know who I can trust who does a great job? Hey, Donald Jr., put down that elephant rifle and get over here. Got all a right. job for you.
Well, the first thing is it's not going to cost the American public very much. Before the election, he said this.
Are you really going to build a wall?
Yes.
They're talking about a fence in the Republican Congress.
Sure.
Would you accept a fence?
For certain areas, I would, but certain areas, the wall is more appropriate. I'm very good at this. It's called construction. But
so part wall, part fence?
Yeah, it could be. There could be some fencing.
Part wall, part fence. That was the
He's talking there about the wall between America and Mexico, and now he's tailed it back to a fence. And I believe that he's going to, if the fence doesn't work, he's going to tail it back to a very strongly worded note that he puts just on a tree.
Some police tape.
Yeah, some police tape.
Where is this going to end up? Because he realises how much money it's going to cost. He's into construction. So he understands that, sorry about that. But he did actually say a couple of things, like about his wage.
As far as the salary is concerned, I won't take even $1. I am totally giving up my salary.
He said that before the election.
And what did you think then? I always think that's a fabulous thing. Right. Why doesn't Malcolm Turnbull do the same thing if he's worth $240 million?
That's a good point.
Why don't all politicians? Why don't we just get rich people to represent us? Because they're not in it for themselves. Oh, are they? Sometimes they might.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's push on. Because he found out something after the election.
I think I have to, by law, take $1. So I'll take $1 a year.
Wow.
Dollar a year.
Getting your money's worth. See, therefore, there's no onus on him to be good. He's going, well, it didn't cost you anything. It didn't cost you a cracker. It cost you $1.
Didn't hurt the salary cap. I wasn't playing for $1 a year.
And what other thing? When he was, they're all going, oh, but he's so divisive and so ugly towards immigrants and everything else and the Mexicans. And now, did you see some of that footage in schools? There's any Mexican kid enters classrooms, build a wall. Build a wall. All the kids are chanting, which is just, what? If you're a kid and you've seen your president who's just been elected is the man who hates Mexicans, that's the sort of leadership. So it's good that President Trump or President-elect Trump got on the front foot and said, righto, you kids.
I am so saddened to hear that. And I say, stop it. If it helps, I will say this, and I'll say it right to the camera, stop it.
This.
Crazy looking man with orange skin telling you to stop it. Oh, yeah.
Apparently, he's having trouble because the wall and the fence that he's trying to build between America and Mexico, they've started to cost it, and it might send the America into further debt that they're already in.
Like 40 million, 40 trillion, aren't they in?
But he's found a way to make it cheaper.
Oh.
Get Mexicans to build it.
Oh, wow.
On both sides.
Brilliant.
So you go, at the end of the day, you clock off and you're not allowed back in. Yeah.
Solved.
I've had a strange one on the weekend, Ed. I went over Friday night to Moreton Island, had a bit of a fish and stuff. I took a photo and I've thrown it on the Facebook and got a few responses. It was a weird one. And the reason I bring it up, it was weird because I was fishing on my own on the beach on the western side of Moreton Island, just quietly. Carload of blokes pulled up next to me.
Uh-oh.
One of them wandered over. I've got a light on the beach, but I'm sort of standing knee deep in the water having a fish. Yeah. This bloke came over and said, "How you going?" The normal thing. I said, "Oh yeah, good. How are you going, mate? Just trying to have a fish on my own on Friday night and la la la.
Just trying to do a spot of nude fishing, mate. Wander off with you,
mind." No. It was all above board. And then so I said, "What are you blokes doing?" "Oh, we're over here fishing." I said, "We haven't got a line." He said, "Oh no, that's what we said to the missus, but we're actually over here having a drink." I said, "Right, they're young blokes." Anyway, I said, "Oh, anyway, mate, good on you. Hey, what's your name?" And he said, I just went to shake his hand because I turned around. I was putting bait on. I was throwing out. I sort of wasn't facing him as I was talking to him. And it was dark. It wasn't a super moon, but it was, fairly big moon.
Wonderful.
I turned around and said, "I'm Greg." He said, "So am I." No, sorry. He said, "I'm Greg." I said, "Oh, so am I. Two Gregs." Then I took a photo. And he said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Because not too many Gregs, so I've done the selfie." Yep. I had to get him to show me how to do that selfie thing. Did the selfie. I've put it on Facebook. Very popular. But we had a chat. I said, "How old are you, Greg?" And he said, 22. He doesn't know Amato. He'd get a surprise if he is a Triple M listener right now. And we decided that he may well be the youngest Greg in Australia. Unless someone's been named after Greg Inglis, there's maybe a preschooler. But it's an old-fashioned name, the Greg.
I love this.
And you had one of these last week, so we've got to run it.
Yeah, we do. It's the youngest person with an old, like a like an old name.
What was the one you had?
Murray.
Murray.
I want to meet the youngest Murray because I just want to know who is the youngest person, or if you know someone called Murray that's listening to us, who is the? My assertion is that the youngest person called Murray would be in their 40s.
Oh, well, I tell you who did respond to the youngest Greg and how many times you've seen two Gregs together was a Brian. He said there's not many of us left.
Young Brian as well. Okay, so this is the way that I normally...
Young Norm. What about
look,
Norm?
Oh, Norm. If your name is Norm, how old
how
are you?
How old are you?
Because Wally? Who's the youngest Wally? Like Walter Lewis. Who's the youngest Walter? Mm. Because what I do is I go through... Start with all sporting codes. Mm. I go through rugby league, union, cricket, soccer, all of it.
What do you mean?
For these names, because that's where you get...
Is there a seven-year-old Trevor anywhere?
Wow.
Trevor, youngest Trevor.
Mm.
Yeah. What about women's names too? Beatrice.
Oh, maybe another day. Can we stay with men for today?
All right, stay with men's names today.
Because there's so many and we haven't got much time. You know?
Young Murray, young Norm, young...
Cedric. Brendan from Birkdale, you're up first, mate. Old name, young person.
Yeah, mate. My neighbour had a baby last Friday and they called it Graham.
Oh. Love it. Love it, Brendan. Little Graham. Now, why did they name it Graham?
Apparently it was after his father, who was 80-something and still alive, and said he was been a good dad, so they named him after him.
Yeah, that's how you get the will changed.
That's right.
Leave the money to little Graham.
I love little Graham, Brendan. Hello, Murray.
How's it going?
Oh, it's going very well. Now, Murray, are you in your late 70s?
No, I'm not. I'm 26.
Oh, you're 26.
Hold on. Is that a Kiwi accent?
Of course it is. What else would we be?
It's a very popular New Zealand name, Murray.
Yeah. Now, named after my father.
Named after your father, second generation Murray. Now, why has the name Murray survived in New Zealand?
It's an awesome name.
Yeah, it is an awesome name. Okay. Who in Flight of the Conchords was called Murray? Someone's in Flight of the Conchords.
Yeah, the band manager.
The manager.
He used to work for New Zealand Embassy.
Mm. Yes. Murray, it's present. A pleasure, mate.
Present.
It isn't. Yeah, present. It's a pleasure. Actually, can we do that? Murray, go back to Murray.
Yeah.
Hang on, I'll do it. Quick roll. Band roll call. Britt.
Present.
Jermaine.
Murray.
No,
Murray. Just saying his name. We're going to get to you in a second. Go again.
Britt.
Present.
Jermaine.
Present.
Murray.
Present.
He was right. Technically, he was right because Murray would do it for himself. Thank you, Murray.
Yeah,
here's Noel. Noel's from Thornlands. Noel.
G'day, guys. How are you?
How old are you, Noel?
I'm 56.
That's not young.
I know. But, hey, how many Noels do you know?
You're right, Noel.
Younger
you've
than
got
56,
it.
You may be the winner.
No,
but get this,
winning.
I ordered a coffee the other day, and this young girl was serving. She couldn't spell it. And I said, you know, Christmas, Noel. So I'm getting that a lot lately. All the young people don't even know how to spell Noel.
They can't spell Noel. Do they spell
it's
it like...
N-O-L-E, they normally do it.
Leon backwards. Tell them that one, Noel.
Exactly. Yeah.
N-O-L-E. That's great. Okay, thank you, Noel. Laura from Alnchester. Laura.
Hello.
How are you? Now, what's an old name? You got an old name for a young man?
Yes, my stepson's name is Kevin.
How old is Kevin?
7.
Kevin, yes. 7?
Yep.
Kevin is 7.
What happened there? Is it to appease a grandparent or something?
It's a grandparent, He's named after a grandparent.
It's a grandparent. Yeah, I love this. I love this so much. This is what happens, Marto. Names go out of fashion because I told you the other day that I met someone who told me that they had a niece called Awesome, A-W-S-U-M.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
I said, what's wrong with Carol? She goes, oh, yeah, I've seen that.
I've got a couple of others here too, Ed. This is so good. Chris from Kalinga, we've got to keep moving on, but he's got a great nephew who's won. His name's Winston.
Wow.
As in Churchill. And I've got one here. A girl's rung in. Tilly said she's got a friend, has just had a baby, called it Barbara.
Little Barb.
Little Barbie.
Oh, it's Barbara. Cute. I love it. Oh, so lucky to have him. the most powerful man in the nation, live from the PM's office, Rich Uncle Mal. The PM, top of the morning to you, Rich Uncle Mal.
Good morning to you, Ed, and hello to you, Marto, yeah. And hello to everybody in Brisbane.
What
good morning.
What a statesman you are.
Yeah, listen, mate, there's a continuing opinion that you mate. Are out of touch.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll let you call me mate, just to show that I repudiate that assertion wholeheartedly. Okay. And I refuse to accept that I'm out of touch. I went for a drive in Canberra just last week and stopped at a strip of shops with no fanfare or sanctimonious humbug to wander like a normal man or woman in the street. I went into a terrific shop called Off Your Tree. I met a guy called Twisted. He was very helpful. He introduced me to a product called Intensity, and he sold me a vape machine. So he said it'll help me chill, which means relax. I don't know whether you know what that means.
I
vaped some Intensity, and later that afternoon I ate a whole can of beetroot. So that was surprising and delicious. Okay. Just the sensation of chewing it was extraordinary.
Well, you know you're a normal guy. I feel like that. But back to work. How does the new asylum seeker exchange program work? Like, well, are we sending them to the States? What are we doing?
Well, we're exchanging asylum seekers. It's quite simple. We give the Americans 2 Syrians. They give us 11 Mexicans. And what it's supposed to do is make seeking asylum so brutally complicated that in the end refugees are happy to stay home and just suffer persecution.
Now, fantastic.
The upside is we get some Mexicans, and I loved the Cisco Kid as a young boy with Poncho, his hapless sidekick, and of course all of the Mexicans in movies back in the day were wearing ponchos and sombreros and bullet belts. They were all sweaty with always one gold tooth, didn't they? So I don't know whether things have changed. Lucy, do Mexicans still have one gold tooth? I think they do.
Okay, final question. Have you been enjoying the supermoon, mate?
Well, where I was, mate, again. I tell you what, familiarity breeds contempt, doesn't it? You Queenslanders. Where I was, the supermoon wasn't completely visible the whole time, but what a delight it was. I've got a wonderful telescope at my disposal, and I was staring at it and reflecting on July 1969 and Neil Armstrong first stepping onto the moon. The work and words of John Fitzgerald Kennedy. We choose to go to the moon and make this achievement not because it's easy, but because it's difficult. Okay. And then I thought, what have I done? Nothing. I can't even get the NBN to the end of your street and my best friend's Christopher Pine. Yeah. What have I become? I was vaping Intensity at the time and I completely freaked out.
Yeah,
I ended
I
up on the floor of the conservatorium in the fetal position. So, it's just a normal Wednesday night in Canberra, really. Before I go, guys, I just want to say that Triple M rocks Nunda.
Hey, sure does. I see what you did there. Rich Uncle Mal, the PM, lovely to speak to you.
Good on you, Ed. Good on you, Marto. You're a great constituent.
Hey, Ed, did you see last night that story about there was a couple, they'd sold their house in Brisbane. They looked like, well, they would have been 60, maybe around 60 somewhere. Sold their house in Brisbane. He had a Bali singlet on and she had a batik, just a dress on, you know, strappy dress. Now wandering the streets of our favourite place, Bali.
Yes. Now, you're talking about people who are retiring from Australia to Bali.
I don't know what I just all of a sudden saw it on the news last night. So they sold the house in Brisbane, they said, and they live.
I live like a king, she's like a queen. Cheers.
They're in their local bar, as you do, a bit of bintang at 3 in the arvo. And listen to this one. There's no home domestic duties for her anymore.
We eat out every day. I cook maybe twice a month, and that's only if he wants bangers and mash or something Australian.
How about this? They reckon 17 grand a year, their rent. So they rent a place, a villa, two-bedroom villa, with a little, those little plunge pools they have. I think most people listening has nearly everyone been to Bali?
Well, they're aware of it. Yeah. I think if they're not
17 grand a year, what would it cost you as a couple? Surely it's up around 40 grand. I always read those financial players tell me.
So,
you know all about this.
Father-in-law, the wonderful surfer, sir, hello, and they love Bali, and my mother-in-law, they've been going since it was, as he says, he's got photos in their house where it's just rice paddies, and he's seen, you know, he says things like, I remember when the first hotel went up here. Oh. So he's been going for, he's a surfer, so he's been going forever.
Now, are we allowed to tell everyone he's on the Nusa Dua side? Now, there's all sort of pockets, Uluwatu, Nusa Dua, then there's Kuta to Seminyak.
And he has been trying to get her to move and retire over there now that their youngest son has finished school. And my mother-in-law won't do it. She wants to stay around her children or whatever and hope for some grandchildren. And so he's now going on these trips over there by himself, right? And he once said to us, he goes,
as soon as he finishes school, I'm going to go and just move to Bali. He's
standing up for this point, of course.
All I need is my surf bag and I'm off.
I should hang around. I put it to him that I can go because my son's just finished school too.
Right. And I said, sir, why don't you just take a boogie board bag instead? That normally goes pretty well for Australians into Bali.
Yes.
Right? And everybody laughed. And then he looked at me and he said, okay, so you're not welcome.
Yeah, you pick and choose. Yeah. I don't know. Would it ever work? You know.
Yeah. It's worth a try. It's worth a try. Have you ever had, you've come back to you, you're at a car park and you've gone in to do your shopping or do whatever it is that you do, and you come back out and someone has swiped your car. Someone has hit your car and they haven't left a note. This happened to my wife the other day. I was off to do the bowls. She went out to go shopping. I don't want to say which shopping center it was because it's not their fault, right?
They're all bad, mate. There's no such thing as a good shopping center car park.
She comes back and she calls me at the bowls and she's all upset. I'm like, what's the matter?
Oh, this is the new Mazzy. No, the new, what is she driving?
She drives a car. We don't, because we've got conflicting things here. So she drives a car. And
sorry.
anyway, so it's
not very old, is it?
No, most certainly not very old. It's very, what I would call new.
She crashed her last one.
Yeah. So initially she says, I know you're going to think this is my fault, but it's not. And I said, okay, good premise. And she said, no, I've got, my car has been sideswiped in the car park of this shopping center, and they didn't leave a note. And then I went and had a look at it, and, you know, I mean, of course I believe her. A little bit of the side is all scratched down the side, and the mirror was on the ground cracked. So someone's gone to park, and because the cars are getting bigger and bigger and bigger, I believe, people don't know where they begin and end. Someone has smacked into the side of the car, not left a note. How funny is this? I had told her a story the week before that I was at an outdoor car park of a supermarket quite close to us, and I was standing there on my phone, and I saw a P-plater drive in, and I was thinking to myself, oh, she's going to hit that car that's parked. She's not swinging far enough. She hits the car that was parked next to the one she was going to think and stops. And I waited, and I said, you've hit that car. Leave a note.
Did you say that to her or in your mind?
Yeah. No, to her. I said, you've hit that car. Leave a note. Do it. And she's like, yeah. And she's sort of writing on her phone. I go, not your phone. You need to leave a note. You've hit that car. Right?
Yeah.
I don't know if she did. I wandered off after that. I assume she didn't.
I've heard cases where people pretend, when they've been pulled up, people pretend to write on a piece of paper, put it under the windscreen wiper, and there's actually nothing there, or is, I've hit your car with no other details. When they've been pulled up by other people. Yeah.
Okay. So has this happened to folks?
This happens all the time. Happened to my young bloke. He's had a car now for 3 weeks. All right. Pete Plater. Of course, he's going to, because his mother goes out and goes, what's going on there? And I've looked at the front, on the front of his car. Somebody's virtually driven a tire and ripped the front of the paint off his front corner. Poor bugger. Like, he's a red Pete Plater and he hasn't caused it, but somebody in a car park has.
Has this happened to folks? What did you do? Is there anything you can do? I've done it once. I'll be honest with you. I did it once and I left a note. I left up paying for it and it really hurt, but I just thought, I can't.
I reckon there's 5,000. This is just from you just describing what, both doors and a scratch at the front panel and a rear view mirror. Yep. The panel beater might correct me. I reckon there's $4,000 worth of damage.
Well, paying the insurance is on it, so we're already paying excess. The excess. I've got to pay excess for this.
You know why the P-platers don't stop? Because their excess is something like $1,200.
Yeah, and they're terrified of their parents. Bernie from North Lakes, what did you see in the car park, buddy?
Mate, I was sitting in the car park and watched a car hit another car, was on the phone to a friend, hung up and took photos of the car and got out of the car when they'd written a note saying, I've just hit your car and I'm not leaving any details.
They did what I've heard. Yeah.
Yeah, they do it all the time. So I've actually taken photos of this car hitting the other car and backing out and taking photos of him leaving the note. So then I've got out and left a note for the guy and said, listen,
I've seen this accident. I've got some photos. Here's my number. He's rung me up. Got in contact with the Road Traffic Authority. Got this bloke's number. Rung him up and said, look, you've hit my car. And he said, no, I didn't. And then he's forwarded the photos of, that I'd taken to him and said, well, tell me you haven't.
Got him.
Beautiful.
Bernie, beautiful work, buddy.
Oh, you're black bloke's best friend, mate. Well played.
I love that, Bernie. Yeah. Stay on the line, Bernie. You're getting some sort of
Bernie needs
award.
Off, yep.
Yeah, off air. Here comes Andrew from Mullaney. Andrew, what did you see?
Yeah, it's all the same thing, similar sort of thing. A bloke in a car park at a shopping centre around Christmas time. Forced his car in between two other cars, end on parking. And he just kept backing into the one behind him, and then the one in front of him, and then the one behind him, and then the one in front of him, until he fitted it in there.
That's how Fred Flintstone used to drive. Like, they don't realise how big their bloody cars are.
No, I think they're just stupid.
Andrew, can I put one at you? What about we get the little, because the car parks, maybe they're too small, maybe we get the little cars, sedans, in one car park, and if all these four-wheel drive people, they're so outdoorsy, let them park about 800 metres away, get a big car park for them.
I drive a 5.4 metre van for a living. Yeah. I'm telling you, if it doesn't fit in the car park, you don't park there. Move along. Yeah,
yes, Andrew. Yes, thank you very much. It's not that hard.
Sensible man.
You can tell if your car, I reckon you can tell if you go, oh, it looks a bit iffy, then don't park there. Your car does not fit.
Casey, Redland Bay, what'd you see?
So I had my car for about a month. This is a brand new Lancer. Mm. The first day of owning it, we took it to the beach. Someone's put their stuff on my roof, pulled it off, and then scratched the roof. After that, my brother tried to shut the boot, dented the boot, and then 3 weeks later, someone's backed into it in a car park. Cracked the front bumper.
Oh, God.
Did they leave a note?
Oh, of course not.
Oh, Casey.
Doesn't anyone leave a note anymore?
No, common decency is gone.
Yeah, sure is.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that might be right. We've got that many other calls, Casey, where people are just not.
We have thousands of calls.
Here's Michael from Ipswich finally. Michael, you got hit the other day in a car park. What happened?
The other day I was parked in a car park and this kid driving a lifted Hilux backed into me. Destroyed my bonnet. But he didn't have any insurance, but luckily he left me a note. Now, my insurance company, yeah, it was good. It was really good of him.
Yeah.
Ended up costing him a lot of money because he didn't have insurance.
Oh.
Now, luckily, my insurance company said to me, though, even if he didn't leave a note, nowadays they can contact the shopping centres. If they can get video camera footage and see what the number plate is of the car that runs into you, they can still chase them down. So even if they don't leave a note, as long as they can get the number plate, they can catch them.
CCTV, you'd need a full-time person, wouldn't you, Ed, to do that?
No, they might have it. Michael, I'm going to get my wife to call the shopping centre. Or she'll just think it's an excuse to go back and get some more stuff.
No. Go down that track, because otherwise you're going to pay the excess.
No, thanks, Michael. Going to do that.
Oh.
Leave a note, people. If you nudge someone's car, it's going to cost you money, but you made the mistake. Come on.
Good
tip. How about 79 test matches? How about an average of 51.52? How about 1900s? He only started in the Australian test team at the age of 45. Mike Hussey, it is a pleasure to have you with us.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
We're concerned.
You know, I'm concerned. Hussey, I'm a cricket nerd. I love my test cricket. And we're looking at five losses in a row. Now, here's my question. Is it either, this is multiple choice. Is it A, that there's problems internally with the team, that we don't know how to pick the right squad, we got no good players, or is it B, that we're just playing two teams that are better than us?
That's a good question. No, it's probably more like B at the moment. The other team's been playing really well. We probably haven't been playing as well as we can. We have got a lot of talent and there's a lot of ability out there, but unfortunately not been able to put it together on a consistent basis at the moment. But I'm backing them to turn it around. It's going to take a little bit of time, but I am backing them in.
Are you worried that this is the end of Test cricket if we can't? Because the ratings are down, we're losing, people are losing interest. Nobody, and I mean nobody apart from maybe Ed, is walking around anywhere where I go going, what's the score? And in the old days, that was all you did. Even if you weren't listening to it on the radio, watching on TV, you could catch up. You go, oh, how are we going? How are we going? Oh, we're down there. No one wants to know Test cricket. Is it almost dead?
No, I can't really agree with that. I think there's plenty of people like Ed out there. I've been getting stopped in the street all the time saying, what's going on? What do we need to do? What are we doing with the Australian team? And I don't have the answers for them at the moment. But, I think there's still a lot of passion for cricket out there, particularly Test cricket. Do you know what it is? Players love playing Test cricket as well.
I know you did, Huss, but that's why everyone loves you so much. You had to drag you off the field. I think that's part of the problem. From watching the games, Huss, and I'm going back to the shots that the bowlers played in the first innings. They were not trying to stay out there for the captain. Why won't people just hang out, just hang in the middle for as long as they possibly can?
Yeah, well, it's probably been a bit of a byproduct of T20 cricket. You know, uh-huh. T20 cricket's been fantastic over the last probably 5-6 years or so. But unfortunately, it doesn't really teach guys to take their time, build an innings, bat long periods of time. Mm. It's all about scoring fast, and technique sort of goes out the window a little bit. So I had a bit of a hunch that this was going to be a bit of a byproduct of T20 cricket. It was going to make Test cricket a bit more exciting with faster scoring and more wickets being taken. But yeah, you do lose that sort of skill or that art of being able to bat long periods of time and you know, just take a bit of time in the game. So yeah, it is probably a bit of a byproduct of T20 cricket.
So I've been listening to what's coming out of the commentary box. I get the feeling that Michael Clarke doesn't like Steve Smith, and his bottle blonde mate Shane Warne. They are both stitching up Stephen Smith from the commentary box at every opportunity. Have you been listening or watching?
No, I haven't actually been listening to the Nine Boys that much this year.
That's after they sacked you.
Yeah, I've been a bit disappointed. I would have loved to have been over there with them. But, no, I think probably Warnie and Pup are probably just frustrated. You know, they're frustrated with how the Aussie team's going, and they're probably getting asked by a lot of people what's going on, what are the answers to these problems. And, they love Australian cricket as much as anyone, so they're probably just more frustrated than anything. I personally don't think there'd be any issues between the players because, you know, certainly I played at the, when those guys were around the team and there were certainly no issues then. Whether anything developed after that, I'm not sure, but I'd be surprised if Pup and Warnie really dislike Davey Warner and Steve Smith that much.
Well, listen, all right, in the dressing rooms this morning, there's 2 days to go. They need a miracle. I can sit here and go, well, I watched Ireland beat All Blacks in a game of rugby. I watched Donald Trump win an election. Do they stand there in the dressing room and go, anything's possible?
Without doubt. Yeah, and especially in a game like cricket, you never know what can happen. You never know what could happen in the game of cricket. So, yeah, it's about hanging in there for as long as we possibly can, like we were talking about earlier. And it's just about, but Test cricket, it's not rocket science. It's just about being, are you willing to just be able to do the basic things for long, long periods of time? Are you, as a bowler, are you willing just to bowl that ball in the right spot, over after over, ball after ball? Batting is just about, you know, fighting as hard as you can for every single ball. And it's amazing what can happen is if you just bring it right back to the basics. And just being willing to do that hard graft for long, long periods of time, and things can turn around pretty quickly.
Mike Hussey, wow. It's great to hear you talk about the game. I hope there's somewhere that you get to talk about the game in a broadcast capacity very soon. We'll leave that there. Wouldn't it be nice to hear Mike Hussey more often? Nice to have you, Mr. Hussey.
No worries, guys. Have a great day.
Nice one, Huss.
Marto, special guest in the studio. One of Queensland's finest comedians. Nice to actually have him in town. He's normally touring all over the place. And also a personal friend of mine outside the business, which I know you find hard to believe. But Damien Power, nice to see you.
Nice to see you too, Ed, Marto.
But he's also from Dolby.
No, not quite. Close. I'm from Toowoomba.
Toowoomba. That's right. I always get that mixed up.
There you go.
Toowoomba's going places, mate.
Toowoomba's growing. Did you know my brother, Will Power, which is his real name?
Oh, you're not going to do this again.
He opened the airport.
Oh, did he?
Oh, he raced opened the airport.
So he raced a jet in a V8 supercar. So he's racing jets in V8 supercars, and I'm performing in the pokies room in a pub. Puts things into perspective.
Does do that. Speaking of cars, though, because in Paddington, around where I live, that's where you and I normally meet up.
Uh-huh. And that's true,
go and get coffee and go and grab a bite, grow a bite to eat and solve
go
the
and get a
problem.
Burger without any meat in it. That's what I always do when I go to Paddington.
Yeah.
What's this?
Yeah, exactly. But you've had some car trouble in Paddington, have you not?
Yeah, I finished up a gig and I pulled up at the red lights there outside of the paddo and a guy tried to tackle my car. Like, I stopped at the lights and he's like, come on, mate. Come on. Come at me. And I...
What?
It was really profound to me. Do you ever wonder how weird it is that guy exists? Think about that. Wow. That, come on, mate. Come at me. Like, he's one of us. He's a human being.
Is he?
And think about that. So is Stephen Hawking, the astrophysicist, genius, who wrote A Brief History of Time. They're both in the same animal.
Wow,
what a gap. Yeah. Isn't an interesting time? What a gap in intelligence in one animal. Yeah. Come on, come at me. The universe is expanding constantly. They're in the same animal.
Wow, they're the same gene.
You don't see that in any other animal.
Like
you
deers?
Don't,
no,
you don't see a dog eating its own vomit than another dog driving a forklift. That kind of gap doesn't exist.
That's true. But what about when you get, okay, would you call this the same gap? You know, there are bears that just sort of wander around and eat berries. And then there are other bears in the Moscow circus that can drive cars.
Okay, you're right. You got me on a technicality there.
Hey, good to see you. So listen, Damien Power on
where do
YouTube.
We go find you? On YouTube?
Yeah. YouTube, yep, internet, all my stand-ups up there.
A pleasure. Damien Power, you can find him on YouTube. You can see him at Hope Island. Don't throw a punch at him and don't try and tackle his car. Just go along to the gigs and have a laugh. Good to see you, man.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Brisbane Roar take on Sydney FC this Saturday night at Suncorp Stadium. Tickets from $16 at Ticketek.com.au.